I want to apologize this morning for my clean-shaven appearance. But I would remind my dear beloved grandson, there's a story in the Bible that he reminded me of today. You remember the story of Joseph, how he was put in prison by Potiphar, and he was there for a considerable period of time, and the Pharaoh's butler and baker ended up in prison with him. And Joseph was able to tell them their dreams. And so I think it was the butler, he said, after you get out and you get back in the service of the Pharaoh, please remember me. Well, the butler forgot. 2 years passed and Pharaoh had a dream himself. And he was disturbed over his dream. I won't take the time to tell you the dream. But finally, the butler remembered Joseph in prison had revealed his dream to him. And it came to pass. And so he told the Pharaoh about it. And Joseph was summoned from prison to Pharaoh to hear and reveal his dream. Now, dear Joseph in prison, what did he do? Did he rush up to the Pharaoh immediately? Of course not. He went and got a bath. He put his best clothes on. But most important, he shaved. He didn't want to appear before the Pharaoh with that scraggly, scrawny beard trying to hide facial whatever. So, I apologize this morning. But may, and by the way, those of you who weren't in Sunday school this morning, there's a little background to that. Because Richard loves to make disparaging marks about his grandpa's hair or lack thereof. So he did it this morning. And I assured him there would be retribution. So, all right. I apologize for that. I don't normally do things that like that in the pulpit, but I just had to today. You understand? If you have your Bibles, turn with me once again this week to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 22. Through 23. Last week I preached on the subject, on this passage of scripture, on the subject, the miracle of marriage. And actually, when I started preparing the sermon for last week, I had 3 points for the sermon. The first was the miracle of marriage, the second, the mystery of marriage, and the third, the manner of marriage. Well, as you know, we only got to the first point last week, so today we're going to get the second point, and I'm not sure we'll do the third point. But would you stand with me as we read once again these passages from God's Word? Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in the Lord in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. Or as the Greek says it literally, this mystery is great. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Father, thank you for your word. Anoint us with your Holy Spirit today and guide us and help us to understand the truth that you want to teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, Ephesians chapter 5 is a passage where that we like to go to when we want to give a charge and a challenge to a couple getting married. In fact, I didn't read the scripture, but when I gave the charge to Evan and Caitlin up in St. Louis, the heart of the charge was Ephesians chapter 5. Sometimes, of course, if we want to preach a sermon on marriage, then we usually would go to this passage as well. But today I want us to try to go a little bit deeper in this passage. And as I said last week, we preached on the subject, the miracle of marriage. And today we're going to consider verses 30 through 32. Let me read them again. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So, the mystery of Christian marriage is the subject that Paul is talking about here. And I think that we need to be able to look below the surface. The world looks just on the surface aspects of love and man, woman, husband, wife relationships. But what was Paul really talking about here? Well, Ephesians is the book of the church, particularly in the New Testament. And Paul plainly says here, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So whatever this mystery is, Paul says it relates to Christ and the church. He also says here, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Question, who is the we that is referred to here? Because if you're in the we or in the us, in some of the passages, then you're in. But if you're not in the we, you're out. It's sort of like Noah's Ark, you know, when God shut the door. If you were in, you were in, and you were saved from the flood. But if you were out, you were out. And outside the grace and love and salvation of God. Now, if we go back to the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, we clearly see who the we is. Chapter 1, verse 4 says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Verse 5 says, having predestined us to adoption as son by Jesus Christ to himself. Verse 6 goes on to say that he made us accepted in the beloved. In other words, in Christ, God welcomes us, accepts us into a special relationship with himself that he calls the church. Verse 7 says, in him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The we goes forward on into chapter 5, verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And Paul describes this as a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. So the question for every one of us today is, am I in the we or outside the we? Am I inside the door or outside the door? Am I in the church or outside the church? Because every born-again child of God, every believer, I believe, is part of the body of Christ, which is His church. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 3, goes on to talk about the revealing of that mystery that he mentions here in chapter 5. And if you will forgive me, let me go ahead and read chapter 3, verses 2 through 10. If indeed you have heard of the dispensation, the administration of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery. So God revealed the mystery to Paul, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages, from the beginning of creation, has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Paul here is saying that there was this secret, this mystery, that was hidden in the heart and the mind of God, or as the old time preachers used to say, hidden back in the council halls of eternity. Only now, as Paul is talking, through the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and through Paul and the other apostles, that God had revealed that mystery and has made it known to his people, the church. That mystery is revealed in Ephesians chapter 3, and it concerned the nature, the makeup, the membership of the body of Christ. And we don't have time to go back and read those verses, but you remember Paul talks about that middle wall or partition that has been broken down because of the death of Jesus Christ, because of his cross, and peace has been made not only between God and man, but between the Jews and the Gentiles, and that all people on the face of this earth who come in the name of Jesus and believe in him as their personal Savior, that God will forgive them and make them part of that body, his church. That body was to include both the Jews and the Gentiles, and it's wonderful that even in our small church here, we can experience some of that as we have people from many different places on the face of planet Earth who come here to worship with us, and that they can be welcomed and we can be joined together because we are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these people that Paul is talking about here were to form a new body, a new creation, which was the church. In the Old Testament, God had his chosen people, the Jews. They were the seed of Abraham. But in the heart and mind of God, there was this mystery that was waiting for the right time to be revealed. And today, you and I live in that age. That age when that mystery has been opened up, it's been revealed to the world. It's the age of grace. The time when God has opened up the floodgates of heaven and poured out his grace on all the world. And that is the mystery, I believe, that Paul, if we look at the totality of the book of Ephesians, that Paul is wanting to get across to you and to me, that God's love, God's grace, God's salvation has been made available to all men everywhere. And the great tragedy is that so often we shut the door. And the we stays inside the walls. And we don't go out for various reasons. Fearful, afraid. But God opened the door. So this morning, first of all, the mystery of its origin. The mystery of Christian marriage, the mystery of its origin. Paul continues here in chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And this verse directly alludes to Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man." And so here we have the story of Adam, the head of the human race, the first man created by God. And his bride, Eve, was part of himself. The Bible says here that God put Adam to sleep, pierced his side, surgically removed one of his ribs, and from that rib, he created a bride for Adam, one like unto himself, a helpmate. And then God took Eve and brought her to the man, Adam. And in that wedding ceremony, God gave the bride away. And yes, it reminds me up in St. Louis when Evan and Caitlin got married, and Mike escorted Caitlin down the aisle. The question was asked, who gives this man to be married to this woman? And Mike answered, her mother and I. Well, God brought Eve to Adam and gave the bride away. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Eve was taken from Adam's side, from his body, before she was his bride. And Adam and Eve, they were the type. The one man and the one woman whom God created and God ordained. Yes, that marriage should be between one man and one woman. Sin has entered the world. And sin has distorted human relationships to the terrible extent that we have men marrying men and women marrying women, and who knows what will come next. But you and I believe in God. We believe in His Word. And we believe that God has ordained for the ultimate human happiness that it shall be one man and one woman joined together in marriage. But that relationship of Adam and Eve and their marriage became the type of Jesus Christ, who was the second Adam, the last Adam. He was the Son of God, the eternal Word of God. And He came into the world from the bosom of the Father. And He revealed the heart of God as He came into this world. And He revealed the way to God. And through His life and death on this earth, the mystery was revealed. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 45, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man, Adam, became a life-giving spirit. And you see, that's what happens because we are the church. We are the body. We are the members of Christ. And He is the life-giving spirit. And He gives to you and to me as His children, as members of His body. He gives us life and strength and power. Paul said, I speak concerning Christ and the church. The church came from the pierced side of our Lord. The church was born out of His wounded side. John 19, verses 34 and 35. But one of the soldiers pierced His side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. In that blood and water coming from the wounded side of our Savior is found the birth of the church. Even as Eve came from Adam's side and became one flesh with Him, even so the church today, through the death of Christ, are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Point number two, the mystery of the vital union. Adam and Eve had a real relationship. 2:24 says, Genesis 2:24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Going on back over to Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wife, just as also Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. Verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Verses 28 and 29, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. Then in verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. This is a great mystery. You and I, perhaps, we'll never be able to understand all that's involved. Even somebody that's been married as long as I have, all that's involved in a Christian marriage. But I do believe the Word of God that when a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, that they become one flesh. They become one. They become joined in heart, in mind, in spirit, in goals. That's God's plan. That's God's purpose. So when Eve was brought to Adam, he took her to himself as his helpmate, his wife, and he loved her. And he said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. You see, Adam could say it literally because God had put him to sleep and took one of his ribs, and from that rib he created Eve, his wife, his helpmate. Now, I have the advantage over most of you guys out there. because, like Adam, I have a missing rib. And there she is. You didn't know that. So I speak from firsthand experience. There was between Adam, God's first and perfect man, and Eve, his helpmate. Taken from his sight, there was this invisible bond and union. The closest, the dearest, the most intense of all human relationships. And together, husband and wife share all the joys and sorrows that life can bring. But Paul, now here in Ephesians chapter 5, uses that spiritual and invisible relationship between husband and wife and makes it a picture of Christ and the church. The mystery of vital union between Christ and His church is beautifully pictured in the marriage relationship between husband and wife. When we believe in Jesus as our personal Savior and receive Him into our hearts, we are forever identified with Him. We become His bones, His flesh, His representatives in the world. That's the reason this church and every church is so important, because we are the representatives of Jesus Christ on this earth. And wherever we go, whatever we do, we represent Him. Because I have believed in Him. I have received Him as my personal Savior. I am born again. I am a child of God. But God left me on this earth for a reason, for a purpose, that I might be joined to Him, part of His body. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23, that the church is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Let me read that again. The church is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Without us, without the church, Christ is not full. Christ is not complete. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I know who Jesus Christ is. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is the creator of the universe. But in God's plan of redemption for the world, you and I, His church, are to be joined and united to Jesus Christ, the head of the church. And through our ministries here on earth, because He's in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and as we live on planet earth, wherever we are, God uses us to be His flesh, His hands, His feet, to do His work in the earth. Without Christ, without us, Christ is not full. He's not complete as far as the purposes of God's redemption is concerned. And you and I, we're not just appendages without a purpose. We are elected and chosen and adopted and redeemed and washed and forgiven and made a part of the very body of Christ. What could a head be without members, without a body? What could a Savior be apart from the saved? What could a king be without a kingdom? What could a shepherd be apart from the flock? What could Jesus be without us? It must be said in all humility that we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. And God's purpose is for us to be joined to Him. But Paul says again in verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. We are identified with Him. When Christ died, we died. He bore our sins on the cross, and they were atoned for, covered by His blood, the moment we received Him as our Savior. When Christ was buried, we were buried. When Christ was raised from the dead, we were raised from the dead. And yes, when He ascended back into heaven at the right hand of the Father, you and I ascended with Him, because Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And Paul is talking about the present tense for God's people. We today can be raised up together and made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Point number 3, the mystery of our eternal union. Jesus, the eternal Word, the Creator Word, the life-giving Word, became flesh, lived in our midst, and became one of us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And what that verse is saying is that you and I are flesh and blood. And Jesus Christ, when He came into the world, the eternal Word, was born of that Virgin Mary in Bethlehem. And He shared flesh and blood with us, because God needed a real flesh and blood human being who was perfect and free from sin to die on the cross for us. And so He came, and He was victorious over sin, death, hell, the grave, and the devil. 1 Corinthians 15:49, as we have borne the image of the man of dust, that means Adam, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man, Jesus. And so when you and I are connected to the head, and as He lives and gives His life, giving strength and power into our lives every day through our relationship, through His Word, through His Spirit, we become more like Him. We bear His image in the world. And so I pray that God will help each one of us to be what God wants us to be. We're going to cut out the last bit of this sermon and ask Richard to come and lead us in our hymn of invitation. God's plan and purpose for His church and for every child of God is that He might present the church to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And this morning, as you stand here before God, Richard is going to lead us in this hymn of invitation. And as God speaks to your heart, if you are still on the outside, Jesus invites you to come and trust Him as your personal Savior. And if you're one of His children, a member of His church, but you've been out of service, you'd like to come back, surrender your life once more. Just stand together, and as we sing, would you come?
Number 439.